Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, today's episode is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners, and I especially want to thank Monty for his support. I'll be sending along access to the premium site, as we do with all donations of $7 or more. And you can support the program at support.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it is time to get into today's episode of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, The Forbes Matter, Part 3 and 4.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Ed Gumby, Mr. Dollar. Attorney for Sheldon Forbes.
Oh, hello, Mr. Gumby. How are you?
Oh, I don't know. The hearing's been set for 2:30 this afternoon.
Okay, I'll be there.
No need to, particularly. As I told you yesterday, he requested me to waive trial and plead guilty.
Well, won't he be sentenced today?
No, this is just a preliminary hearing. He'll probably be sentenced before the week's out, though. The court will simply consider the waiver and inform him of his rights today.
Oh. Anything I can do?
No, I don't think so. I'm going to try to talk to him again and get him to reconsider the waiver. I doubt if I'll have much luck, but I'll try. All he has to do is return the money he stole.
Well, buck up, Mr. Gumby. If he won't return it, maybe someone else will.
Hmm? What do you mean?
I'm going to try and find out what he did with it. My company wants it back, sure. But we also want Forbes to have a fair chance.
You're pretty decent, Mr. Dollar. Thanks.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Continental Adjustment Bureau, 418 Elizabeth Avenue, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Forbes matter. Embezzlement and a very frustrating case. Expense account continued. Item 6, $3.50, lunch. For myself and a Mr. Arnold Haven, head of the accounting department for Century Styles Incorporated. Mr. Haven, a tall, balding man in a dark suit, had ulcers. His poached egg and dried toast didn't interest him too much.
What's going to happen to Forbes?
Oh, I don't know, Mr. Haven. That depends on several things. Right now, I have to tell you that it looks like he'll go to prison. Worse than that, it looks like he wants to go to prison. He's waived trial.
Prison. That's too bad, too bad. I always liked Sheldon Forbes.
You hired him, did you, Mr. Haven?
Yes, I hired him. He was a good man right from the start. He did his job, and he did it well. I never had a complaint against Forbes.
Why do you suppose he stole the money?
You've got me, Mr. Dollar. We paid him the going rate. That's a good salary for accountants. He seemed happy enough with it. When he knew he was in line for substantial raises.
Uh-huh.
I could understand it, in a way, if he had a family and heavy responsibility. Or if he played the market, or if he gambled. But Forbes, he just baffles me.
Yeah, baffles me, too.
Huh? Oh, yes, of course. Well, the people around the office, they're pretty upset about this.
Any particular people, Mr. Haven?
Everybody.
But anyone in particular? A girl, for instance.
Oh, a girl, yes, I see. Well, no.
Did he go out with any girl in your office?
No, most of them are married. No, at least as far as I know, Forbes didn't go with any of the girls there. He kept to himself. Oh, he might have lunched with one or the other now and then, but... No, he more or less kept to himself.
Uh-huh. Well, the reason I asked you, Mr. Haven, is that what little I've been able to find out about his personal life isn't very helpful. My company wants the money back. We're willing to give him a fair break if we can get it back. And he's pretty stubborn about cooperating.
Yes, we know about that, Mr. Dollar.
But how can we give him a break if he doesn't want us to? And we can't find out anything about him. Look, if there's anything you can think of, any reason he might have had for taking the money.
And I've racked my brain. I can't think of any reason. Now, wait a minute. Just a minute. I did notice a change come in Forbes. It was about a month or 6 weeks ago. Oh, it was nothing, really. It was just, an anxiety about him.
Well, he took all the money within the last 4 weeks. Would that correspond?
Roughly, yes.
Well, that's a start, I hope. I returned to the accounting offices of Century Styles with Mr. Haven and spent 2 hours questioning different members of his staff regarding Sheldon Forbes. His habits and his personality were pretty much the same as Haven himself had described them. Expense account item 7, $4, gasoline. I put a tank full of gas in my rented car and went over to an apartment on 59th Street where Sheldon Forbes had lived. According to the penciled note above the first door to the right of the entrance, Mrs. Anastasia Konopka was the manager.
Yes, what is, please?
You're Mrs. Konopka?
Yes. What do you want, mister?
I understand Mr. Sheldon Forbes lives here, is that right?
Oh, yes. Bad. I hear he steals monies. Bad. He not in jail, I think.
Yes, I know about that, Mrs. Konopka. I'm from the insurance company, and we're involved in this case. We're trying to recover some of that money if we can. I wonder if you'd help me.
I fix dinner for my husband. He's come home from work.
It won't take long.
What I do?
Well, I want to know about Sheldon Forbes.
What?
The works, Mrs. Konopka. Did he drink, gamble? Did he stay in nights or go out? Did he pay his rent?
He always pay his rent. You are policeman?
An insurance investigator.
Please, sometime else. Maybe you speak to my husband. He speak much better than me.
But it's important now.
I talk to Mr. Forbes on telephone. He called me from jail. He say I no have to answer any questions.
No, you don't have to answer any questions, Mrs. Konopka. But I'd sure appreciate it if you would.
My husband home pretty soon. You ask him.
You can help him, possibly. Now, would you like to help him in this trouble?
All right, mister, but how I know these things you ask about men who live here?
Well, look, how about his friends? Who visited him?
I cannot say. No visitor.
Was he a good tenant?
No trouble like Mr. O'Sullivan on third floor. Mr. O'Sullivan always drunk. Called police twice. Mr. Forbes no drink whiskey.
Uh-huh. Did you ever meet his girl?
Girl?
Sure. He had a girlfriend, didn't he?
Oh, I think you mistake. I no ever see girlfriend here.
All right. How long have you known him?
5-6 years, maybe. Ever since he moved in here to this place.
But no girl?
No.
Well, how'd he spend his time?
Work. He work very hard.
No, I mean besides working at the office. How else did Forbes spend his time?
He poor feller, that one.
Huh?
Sure, he steals money, but he poor feller just the same. For him, I feel.
Yeah.
Mr. Forbes, he quiet and he think. I know he live up in that little room quiet and think. He does all time think. No whiskey, no girls. Or he paint sometime, listen to music, think. Oh, my husband dinner burn. Please, you go.
Well, just a minute. I'd like to see his apartment if I can.
Oh, no matter. Here. You bring back key, please.
Sure. Thank you, Mrs. Konopka. The apartment Sheldon Forbes called home was as dismal as the neighborhood. A tiny closet kitchen, a bed that came out of the wall, a pair of grimy windows that looked across the court onto another pair of equally grimy windows. The furniture was threadbare and dusty. A small ironing board and iron attested to the fact that Sheldon Forbes laundered his own shirts. Other small evidences of frugality were about the premises. A hot plate and a can of souring cream. 2 suits of clothes, neatly brushed and pressed, but inexpensive. The record player and a collection of a half a dozen good albums were the only sign of material accomplishment. The painting materials, easel, canvas, and oils were also inexpensive. No liquor, no jewelry, no expensive clothes. Nothing that cost $4,285 or anything like.
Oh.
Here's your key, Mrs. Konopka. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I thank you. Well, what you think?
I think he's had a very lonely life here.
Oh, Doc, yes. Lonely is the word. Lonely.
Wait, has he got a car?
In back, through alley.
Thanks. It was a Ford, vintage of 1946, tightly locked up. The paint was scaling away, the tires worn down, the mileage 77,000 miles. He certainly hadn't blown the money on a fancy car. Now I felt completely frustrated. Expense account, item 8, 79 cents, dinner. I had it in a neighborhood restaurant called the 79er. A place, I learned, where Sheldon Forbes frequently took his evening meal. The restaurant manager, a man named Alexander Dupolis, remembered Forbes and he liked him. A woman who ran a bakery shop across the street also remembered him as the young man who bought a roll there every night. Probably the roll to go with a lonely cup of coffee in his room the next morning. She liked him, too. All in all, I was getting a composite picture of Sheldon Forbes that didn't look quite right. Whatever he was to the people who knew him casually, he wasn't a man who ever had any money to spend. I dropped in at the city jail about 7:30, and I was surprised to find lawyer Edward Gumby sitting on a bench, briefcase in hand.
Dollar?
Hello, Mr. Gumby.
Nothing new, huh? Well, that's the way it goes, I guess. We had some action today.
Oh?
Yeah. The hearing was this afternoon. Man from the district attorney's office took about 15 minutes to lay out the evidence against Forbes and make the charges.
Uh-huh.
I spent the whole time pleading with Forbes not to go ahead with the waiver.
Did I miss anything?
No, he wouldn't open up at all. Just said he'd spent the money. I couldn't talk him out of the waiver, so it went through.
When will he be sentenced?
They set the date for Friday. I don't know whether they'll get around to it or not.
I'd like to talk to him again. Has he been moved yet?
Nope.
I thought he'd be transferred to the sheriff's office.
Well, ordinarily he would, but since he waived trial, they announced bail. It's proper procedure in cases like this. Gives him a couple of days to straighten out his affairs.
What? Somebody bailed him out?
I did.
Oh. Has he left yet?
Uh-uh. Won't get out till 8. That's when the shift changes. Think it's worth trying to see him?
Yeah, I think I'll stick around, Mr. Gumby. I gotta find out something about this case. An hour later, when Sheldon Forbes emerged from the doorway and turned right, I was following him. When he caught a cab and headed uptown, I caught one and stayed right with him. When he got out at the Empress Theater and walked around to the stage door, I was standing by the alley entrance. 10 minutes later, he came back out, hailed a cab, and once more I followed. This time, I followed him to his apartment on 59th Street. I waited 15 minutes before I went in. Forbes? Forbes? Hey, Forbes, it's me, Johnny Dollar. I want to talk to you. It took me a few seconds to understand what it was. I got a couple of whiffs of it coming from under his door. Forbes! The room was acrid, stinging with gas fumes, and Sheldon Forbes was stretched down on the floor of his 6-foot kitchen. When I picked him up and carried him out, I didn't know whether he was alive or dead. Johnny Dollar.
Are you the party who called for an ambulance?
Yes, didn't you get it?
It's on the way, sir. I'm calling to verify the circumstances.
Attempted suicide by gas.
Yes, sir, we have that. The victim's name?
Sheldon Forbes, F-O-R-B-E-S.
Forbes? And your connection, sir? Relative, perhaps?
No, no relation. Insurance investigator. I just found him.
Will you please remain there until the officers arrive?
Are you kidding?
I asked you, Oh, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Continental Adjustment Bureau, 418 Elizabeth Avenue, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Forbes matter. Sheldon Forbes pleaded guilty to a $4,285 embezzling charge. He waived jury trial and was awaiting sentence when he was bailed out of jail, went home, and turned on the gas. 30 seconds after I dragged him from the apartment, I called the police emergency squad. In a matter of minutes, they arrived, and a couple of interns were working on Forbes with a pulmotor in that dingy, dirty, badly lighted hallway. There was no telling how much gas Forbes had breathed in, or for how long a period after he went into his apartment the gas jet had been open.
Hand me that hypo, Al. Thanks. Swab. Okay.
He alive?
Barely. You the fellow found him, mister?
Yeah.
Hard to say what can happen on these kind. That shot I just gave him should produce some reaction. This your place?
His.
You know who he is?
His name's Sheldon Forbes.
Nice looking guy. Well, I'll need that. Yeah, thanks. I think we're getting somewhere now.
Hey, look, can I help?
No. Well, you better hand me one of those, too. Liable to be pretty sick if... Oh, thank good, he's catching on.
Yeah.
Let's have a little increase, Al. Up it just a little. Okay, hold it there.
The intern and his assistant worked quietly and methodically. There was nothing I could do but stand and watch. After about a half an hour, the color of Forbes' skin seemed to me a little more close to normal. His eyes were still closed, though, and he showed no signs of movement. I waited.
Okay, Al. You can kill the pulmotor. I'm getting some pulse now. Respiration, too.
Will he make it?
It depends, mister. If he has any kind of heart condition, it'll be tough. We can tell more when we get him into a hospital. Nothing more we can do for him here. Okay, Al. Have the boys load him up. Let's get out of here. Now, mister, you say he's a friend of yours?
Just someone I knew.
He's got you to thank, in case he makes it.
Where'll he be?
We'll take him over to Bellevue. All attempted suicides get over there.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to talk to him when he comes around. Any idea when that'll be?
No telling. Better phone in first. Police will want to talk to you. You give identification to headquarters when you called in?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the third one tonight. What is it, the weather?
Not for him.
My job is to handle him, but I wonder why they do it.
Oh, this guy's got a problem. He's out on bail, goes into court Friday to be sentenced. Embezzling charge.
Oh. Seemed like a nice guy. To look at.
I think he probably is a nice guy.
Well, I thought you said he was an embezzler.
I did.
Well, be sure and call in.
Yeah, sure, Doctor. Thanks.
Good night.
The uniformed officers outside the apartment house questioned me thoroughly regarding the circumstances of the attempted suicide. I told them what had occurred and gave them my business address for reference. They asked me to ride over to the station with them and verify the facts. I did. All of that took about 2 hours. When I was finished, I put in a call to Bellevue. No change in Sheldon Forbes' condition. Expense account item 9, $280, one theater ticket. That's what it cost me to see the last 15 minutes of a fairly bad musical play at the Empress Theater. When it was over, I walked around to the stage entrance.
Hey, didn't quite get that, mister.
Dollar.
Dollar? Oh, Mr. Dollar. Uh-huh. Well, what can I do for you?
Between 6:30 and 7 o'clock tonight, a man came here to the stage entrance and talked to you.
A lot of people talk to me here. That's my job, talking to them. One man in particular.
His name is Sheldon Forbes.
Don't remember nobody named Forbes.
Well, maybe he didn't give his name. He was a tall man, about my size, 30 or so, dark hair, clean cut. Wore a tweed suit.
Beats me. Did he come here to see somebody in the show? Is that it?
He might have, I don't know.
How do you know he came here?
I followed him. I saw him.
Huh?
It's a business, my business. I'm an investigator.
Oh, wait now. Did he have a hat on tonight?
No, he didn't.
A short haircut?
Yeah, do you remember him?
Sure. What's he done? Struck me as a nice young fella. He's been around here a lot of times. Sheldon Forbes, yeah. I didn't recognize the name at first.
Would you mind telling me why he comes around here?
Comes here to see Betsy Walker. One of the girls in the show.
Betsy Walker, is she his girlfriend?
Don't think so. It's like this. He comes here asking to see her, and she never sees him. You get it?
Yeah, I suppose so. Well, who is she?
She sings here. Dances a little. Pretty girl.
Have you ever seen her with Forbes?
Well, I can't say. I guess not.
Is she still here?
Huh?
Betsy Walker, is she still here? I'd like to talk to her.
Well, she wouldn't be here this late. She finishes her bit in the second act.
Could you tell me where she lives?
No. I'm sorry, boy. I can't tell you that.
All right. Well, where can I phone her?
Can't tell you that either. Why don't you drop around tomorrow?
It's important tonight. Hey, look, would you do me a favor?
Depends. What is it?
Would you telephone Betsy Walker? Tell her my business and ask her if she'll see me.
Well, suppose I can do that all right, Mr. Dollar. Take a chair there. I'll see what I can do for you.
The doorman did all right. Expense account, item 10, $2.65, cab fare. I gave up my rented car and had the cab driver find the address Betty Walker had given. It was a rather nice apartment in a rather nice part of town, and was almost 1 a.m. when I got there. She met me at the door, wrapped in a chenille dressing gown, with cold cream on her face. Miss Walker?
You must be Mr. Dollar.
Yes.
Now, just wait a minute. Do you mind if I see some kind of identification or something like that?
Oh, no. Here you are.
Hartford, Connecticut. Oh, you'd be surprised at some of the things some men will try. Come in, please.
Thank you.
I didn't quite understand Frank on the telephone.
Frank? Oh, the doorman at the theater.
Yes. I didn't know quite what to make of it. Goodness, are you really an insurance detective?
Yes, and I'd appreciate you letting me see you tonight, Miss Walker.
Sit down. Can I fix you a drink?
No, thanks.
Frank mentioned something about Forbes. You're here because of him?
Yes, Miss Walker. I understand that you know Forbes.
No, not exactly, that is.
There's some reservation in the way you say that, Miss Walker. You know his name?
Yes, I know the name. Can I ask you what this is all about?
Routine investigation.
I'm curious. How did you get my name? How am I connected with Sheldon Forbes?
That's what I'd like you to tell me.
Well, first about my name.
Forbes was at the theater earlier tonight asking for you. I understand he's been around there quite a bit.
Yes. I really don't know how to tell you this, Mr. Dollar. I've only seen that man once in my life, honestly. He's really quite impossible. I just... Oh, dear, this is so embarrassing to try to explain this.
Maybe I can save you some embarrassment, then, if you'll answer one question.
Sure, why not?
Did Sheldon Forbes ever give you any presents?
Yes.
What?
Well, that cigarette box on the table there, and the lighter to go with it.
Tiffany's.
Pretty, aren't they?
Yeah, very. Also expensive. What else?
Well, let me think. No, that wasn't from him. That was the lamp over there.
Mm-hmm.
And a fur stole.
May I see it?
I'm afraid I gave that away.
You did?
I gave it to my kid sister who was visiting me last week. I already had one.
Oh, I see. What else did he give you?
I think that's about it. Except for orchids that used to come every night. A dozen orchids every night for the last month.
You only saw him once and he gave you all these gifts?
Dear, I know how that must sound. I just... Look, it started a month or so, I guess. I got a card in my dressing room one night asking me to dinner. It was signed Sheldon Forbes.
So?
Well, I'd never heard of anybody named Sheldon Forbes, and I just tore the card up. But every night after that, I kept getting orchids and the card. And then the gifts started to come. The cigarette box first. That's when I saw him.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even dine with him, Mr. Dollar. We had one drink, and I told him I had a headache.
I see.
But the gifts still kept coming. Flowers, invitations. I ignored them. I tried to send the things back, and I didn't know where to send them. Some I gave away, and some I've kept. I didn't want his gifts. He was nice, but I just didn't want anything to do with him. When I did meet him, he was so different than what I had imagined. I mean, well, gee, I've had my share of stage door Johnnies, but this man was, well, he just couldn't say a word without stumbling. He had no poise, no sophistication, nothing. All he had was money.
He told you that?
He didn't have to. Those gifts.
Well, he didn't have money, Miss Walker. He worked for $82 a week as a bookkeeper.
You must be mistaken.
I'm afraid not. He stole the money to buy you all these things.
Well, for heaven's sake. For heaven's sakes, and you caught him?
Yeah. Forbes tried to commit suicide earlier this evening.
Suicide? Oh, no.
I'm sorry I had to come to you to get this information. He's refused all along to tell anybody what he did with the money.
Will he go to prison?
I'm afraid so.
Oh, but it's crazy. We had nothing. He's just a name to me. He means nothing to me.
Yeah. But apparently you mean something to him.
There'll be another intriguing episode in our story of the Forbes matter tomorrow.
Tomorrow, proof that $4,285 worth of unrequited love can spell 3 years of prison. But sometimes there's an angle. In this case, a rather startling one. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by John Dawson, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Well, our mystery really is at an end at this point. So, not as much excitement going into Friday as perhaps we'd like. Kind of an interesting sociological experiment and a few really nice realistic touches when they were dealing with the internist working on Forbes. And really, just kind of a sad case. You all have to respect the decency of Johnny Dollar, really trying, in spite of Forbes, to give him a break, but just not happening at this point. But we'll see if we can get. We'll see what the big surprise is on Friday. Now we turn to listener comments and feedback. Aiden says, hello from the UK. I love the site and the info before and after the adventures. Is there any chance of uploading Paul Temple mysteries to the site in the future? All the best wishes, Aiden. And also, have you heard of Toffa? They are great radio shows, too. Well, thanks so much, Aiden. I had not actually heard of Toph. I did a Google search and found some information apparently created by John Creasley, actually writing under his own name, and very prolific, with a total of 59 books in between 1938 and 78. Might be worth a look. In terms of the Paul Temple mysteries, in most British mysteries, the answer is, probably not. While I'm aware that Paul Temple's history on radio goes back, quite a few years, most of his earliest adventures, are still under copyright in the UK, which means they're still under copyright in the United States. The general rule with British programs is that if it's before June of 1957, it's a public domain. We can play it. After that, it's under copyright, and it will be under copyright longer than we're doing this program, unfortunately. Then I have a listener comment from... one listener, some of them, these have really bad audio. There's a very strong echo to the point of ringing. I had to turn many of them off. Well, I apologize you've had that difficulty. If you do have that type of concern, please email me what specific episode you're talking about. Now, and I also have to say that, you know, some of these... You know, the Johnny Dollars are all I think, in pretty good shape. But some of these, the Sherlock Holmeses and the Mr. Motos, you know, a lot of the shows we run on Tuesdays and Thursdays, you know, are not very improved audio. It's one of those things with listening to vintage audio. But, you know, if there's specific episodes you're concerned with, I can ask Andrew to take a look and see if he can... identify where any potential problems or opportunities lie. But bad audio is kind of part of the deal. And, you know, as we've talked it over with, you know, listeners, it's come through that people, want to hear the programs, even if they're a little scratchy or echoey, as long as they're... as long as they're understandable. So that's kind of how we'll play it. But if you run into any specific problems, please feel free to let us know. All right, well, that'll do it for today. We'll be back tomorrow with Sherlock Holmes. In the meanwhile, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.